The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Look, I know it's hot. Not going to be as hot today as it was yesterday, but yesterday, you know, near record high. Don't know if we actually broke the record for hottest day in Milwaukee on June 17th. But it's hot, and people still need to, you know, get outside, get their, you know, get their stuff done. I know, Josh, you still had to take your dog Russell for a walk yesterday, even though it was super hot. You know, people got to get their things in. People got to get their exercise in. And when it's nice outside, people here in Wisconsin want to take advantage of it and run. They want to go for a run. But, Chewy, you've got a problem with some of the people that decide to go for a run outside.
Like, yes, there is a pass. Like yesterday, I will give you a pass, but I do not like guys that run with their shirt off outside. I'm out. Just put a shirt on. What I wear every day is a dry fit. It gets wet. You can't even tell. It dries real quick. It's just, and they're all the same guy. Am I right? Okay. They're all the same guy.
What do you mean by
they
all
run
the same
like
guy?
This? You know, chest out. Got my armband on. Got my nut hugger shorts on. New socks. Put a shirt on.
Are these people running with their shirt in the hand, or are they leaving the house without a shirt?
Leaving without
because
a shirt.
There are like some people you see, like they somehow like tuck it into their shorts.
Yep, into the back of the waistband.
Yeah. Where they just kind of tuck it in and
like yesterday, I'll give you a pass, you know? But I was you know, I drove in this morning, got here, you know, I was coming through about 6:20. 74 degrees out.
Yeah.
You don't need to run with your shirt off, bro. Now, I'll come clean.
All right.
I will come clean.
All right. Hey, honesty is appreciated on this show.
I used to work out in the Packer facility, lift weights with my shirt off. Yes, I was a tool. Fully admit I was a tool. Flexing in front of the mirror.
Sure.
You're a tool, but there was no one else in there. It was me and the strength coach.
Like, working out when you're an NFL player in peak NFL form,
yes,
in an NFL facility, like I feel like there are specific markers that you're hitting that make it okay. But even you're saying now, hey, I crossed the line.
Yes, that I was fully douchey. Admit it. Coming clean. But some of the, you know, it's more so in Florida. Some of the outfits these guys go to work out in.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, do you look in the mirror before you go there? You look ridiculous. The string bikini, or not the string bikini, but the string tank top.
Sure.
While you're on your little HGH at age 65 is not a good look. It's not, is it? Am I right?
No.
It's not a good look. Just let's have some self-awareness.
Do those, the people who are clearly on some supplement of received through nefarious natures, do they realize we all know?
Oh, no. Yeah.
You don't think so?
They think they're being very coy.
Well, they look ridiculous because they look big for 6 weeks, and it's like someone popped them with a pin because they deflated. I'm like, oh, dude, you came off your cycle, huh? You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But here's, I'm just trying to picture, because I'm going to start running here again. I'm going to be running the Milwaukee Lakefront Half Marathon again coming up this fall. So I'm going to have to start running again. I'm just trying to picture what my wife would say to me if I tried to leave the house
with a shirt off,
without a shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I mean, I'll just show off a little bit. Jen noticed this the other day and said, I don't know if I can get it in here. I mean, look at how bad that farmer's tan is. All right. Uh-huh. From like just above the elbow down, it looks fine. And then it's bad as we get, you know, underneath the shirt.
No, I
so
do
like,
not.
Running with, first yes, of all, running with look. That would be a terrible.
That's self-awareness.
Yes. Well, but also, like, you don't need to be running with a shirt off ever.
No. Women, I don't have a problem with it. Okay, but men, no, I don't want to see.
Seems like a double standard there, Chew.
Well, could be. Hairy chest. Are women in or out on hairy chest?
You know, to each their own. Some are in, some are out.
Really?
Seems like personal preference.
Yeah.
Can we poll that?
I mean,
50-50?
It's tough to do things on Twitter that are gender or just really that specific where you're looking for one sect of the population to only vote because there's no way we can vet that.
Yeah, like,
anybody can just vote if we put it up on Twitter.
Go ahead, Josh.
The thing that I have a hard time understanding is Much like the shirt you're wearing right now, those like dry fit.
Yeah.
It's better to have those on because it like acts as a cooling effect. That's the technology they're using.
Yeah.
So even more so than not having a shirt on, having one of those on that like wicks away the sweat and kind of provides that cooling factor seems like a bigger benefit than shirtless. But I mean, we all know the shirtless guy running is trying to prove a point. He's trying to tell everyone, hey, I'm in good shape. As if running multiple miles didn't indicate enough.
Soft nips on guys don't look good. It doesn't look good.
Can you say
guys
that?
Look a little.
Is that allowed?
Yeah.
Okay.
As opposed to hard.
Right. Like, you look so much better when you get out of a cold pool because everything's tight, as opposed to 90 degrees with no shirt on and puffers. I'm just saying.
I hadn't given it that much thought.
I appreciate that you've put thought into this. You've taken angles that I didn't think we could take.
When we go out on the boat with a group of people and I'm going to take my shirt off, you get a little pinch.
He's a little pinch on the way.
Wait, so you're clearly
don't
the guy.
Don't act like I'm the only one that does this.
Clearly you're the guy. Not only were you the guy working out by yourself, shirt off in the Lambeau facility.
Yes.
You're the guy that's doing a couple, you know,
push-ups
before
the beach.
Out. Yeah.
Of course. Yes. My problem is my kids get on me a little bit.
The kids
sometimes,
will help you.
Sometimes I hike the suit a little too high. And they imitate me, which is kind of funny.
But it
I got to work on that,
but it hurts a little bit.
Well, because you want to go over the guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to. Yeah.
I get.
You're trying to get the best appearance here.
But don't act like I'm the only one pinching. That is a lie.
I'd venture you're one of very few that are pinching.
I don't even know if we can pull that.
No. No. What am I going to put? Do you pinch your nipples when you're going to take
before
your
you go?
Yes.
Yeah, that's, you know, I thought maybe we could. No. And then I got ahead of myself, Joshy. Once I realized the way you'd have to word the pull, I realized we wouldn't be having jobs.
Do we want to just take more people out or what?
I was going to say next to, because right next to them. The bikers.
Yes.
When they got the full zip-up suit, I can do with biker shorts. They got padding in the butt.
Yes.
If you're doing long miles, that all makes sense. They're a little tight, but whatever. That's fine. You can put a t-shirt on. But the full suit and the glasses and the shoes.
Unless you're a professional?
Yeah. Unless you're Lance Armstrong or competing, like literally in a competition, you don't need all that.
But I have no problem because I have that same bike and I do the same thing. I don't wear the Tour de France outfit.
I'm just
and
picturing
I don't have
Chewy
a problem
now with like one of those big old aerodynamic helmets.
The only problem I have with them is do not ride your bike on streets where you shouldn't be riding it. Like my road, you've been on my road to get to my house.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible road to ride a bike.
Oh, it's blind spot after blind spot.
And stop riding in the middle of the road, or I'm going to do a drive-by. Right?
I think we need to specify. What
you
mean
a little
by that.
Close.
Thank you.
Because that has various meanings, some of them more severe than others.
little dusting with the mirror. You know what I mean?
Just get a little close. Like, make them a little
nervous. You don't own the road. Or do they?
No.
Do they have rights to the road?
They have rights,
yes.
Just
rights?
Like everybody else.
I thought they have to stay inside the white line.
No.
No. I mean, especially when you get out into the country roads like that.
Can they ride in the middle?
I mean, no, they're supposed to stay on one side or the other. You know, they're just like
is
any
it,
other
is it
slow
more
moving
safe
vehicle.
To be towards the middle than towards the side?
Yeah.
Because if like it's a blind corner, you probably want to be visible instead of like tucked around the corner
it's
there,
just
right?
Don't go on roads where you shouldn't ride a bike.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
The good thing about southeastern Wisconsin, we have these wonderful trails.
Yes.
Beautiful trails.
A lot of really good bike trails.
That you could just have a day. You can travel from rural Wisconsin right into the heart of downtown, and you're barely spending any time on the streets.
You can go all the way to Madison from my house on the Glacier Drummond Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Great trail. Yeah. And I'm not saying don't ride on the road. That's fine when there's space to ride on the road.
Yeah, well, and it's like some of those trails you have to ride on the road. Like they have little breaks in them where you have to take a little detour to get back onto the trail.
Yeah.
A couple of reactions here.
Let's hear them.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that's going to be remembered from this segment is the pinching of the nips.
Yeah. Todd saying, geez, Chewy is Judgy Judgerson. Just taking out people today.
No, I just think it's fair.
Dave from Aaron flexing that Superman tattoo with no shirt on, brother. Ron in the Key says, nope, Chewy is wrong on this. If I looked like the guy Chewy is describing or Chewy, I'd never wear a shirt. Here's the thing, Ron. And that's fine. I get it. If that's what you want to do, doesn't mean we're not going to make fun of you.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're not that
Run away.
Guy.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, I get it. Like, if you look like Chewy or you look like, you know, hey, you work out a lot and you want to show off your body, cool.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I'm not going to make fun of you.
Still going to call you a tool.
Yes. Like me. Make fun of me for hiking my swim suits up underneath my chest.
I was going to say, you got those things up to your nipples.
Yeah, I know.
I love that your kids make fun of you for that.
They're such. You know.
How about people that run in the road on a busy street when there's a perfectly good sidewalk available?
Is that legal?
I mean, I don't think you're supposed to be running in the street, no.
No, on the sidewalk.
Oh, like just running on the sidewalk. Yeah, that's, you know.
That's what they're for.
Yeah.
Walking, it does say running. Walk, but running is allowed.
Do you guys honor the rules of the road where you're supposed to walk into traffic and ride a bike with traffic?
Like if I'm like back in Horicon, if I'm more rural, because that's more of a rural thing that you deal with.
I just walk on whatever side of the sidewalk behooves me at the moment.
Yeah. In the city, I keep it, you know, on the sidewalk.
I don't think we're taking people out. I'm just like,
no, look, man, like if you want to run with your shirt off.
Have at it, but we're going to make fun of you.
We're going to make fun of you.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason to run with your shirt off. Like, and here's the other thing. There's a lot of people out there who run with their shirt off that shouldn't be running with their shirt off.
Yeah.
That think that they look better than they do.
Well, I can tell you this.
I'm just asking.
I'll tell you this, Gabe.
The only thing I'm asking is for people to have a little bit of shame. Just a little bit. You don't have to have a lot of shame. Just a little bit of shame.
I can tell you this. At the lake when we go there,
there
are gentlemen who never wear a shirt. And my boys will be like, oh, so-and-so's out there. And immediately, is he wearing a shirt? Sometime, life calls for a shirt.
Most of the time, I would argue.
Yes. Yeah.
I would argue most of the time, life calls for a shirt.
That's also, though, I mean, it's certainly like a beach and lake culture. Sometimes you just got a lake bum.
Yeah.
He's just never going to have a shirt. He's going to be as tan as humanly possible. And he's probably not going to have shoes on a lot either.
But do you want to eat a meal with someone that's not wearing a shirt?
No.
Yeah, I'd prefer not to.
Clothes on while eating meals.
Yeah.
That's why shirts, shirt, no shoes, no service.
I'm asking this question, Chew.
Yes.
The person that you were just talking about at the lake, because I've pictured a specific person.
Yes.
Are they like 65?
Yeah.
All right. Wear a gold chain, like no shirt, but you still have that little like gold chain going.
Sometimes wears it with jeans or doesn't wear a shirt with jeans on.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I know. I think we've all seen the guy that you're talking about out at the lake. Maybe not that one specifically, but the general.
Yeah, sure.
No, specifically like skin's pretty dry, maybe a little leathery.
See, that felt good.
Get it off your chest.
That segment.
I don't know if it was good for you.
I'm self-awareness. Obviously, I need a little. Right? I think we all need a little self-awareness at times. Like you. Probably don't want to take your shirt off with a farmer's team.
I don't want to take my shirt off in public ever.
Yeah.
That's a bad idea.
Nothing wrong with that.
The last time I did, I was in Greece at my buddy's wedding. And obviously, beach is on Greece, so decided to go in the water. Had the shirt on while I was on the beach, but took off the shirt to go in the water. Started walking in. A friend yelled off, Gabe, you're supposed to take your shirt off when you go in the water. Yeah, all right.
You never heard that one before.
What am I going to do?
What do we think about, and this is a new thing that's kind of come out with technology. They now have like the UV blocking shirts. And a lot of people have, like kids now, wear basically a long sleeve. It's closer to a dry fit.
Yes.
Shirts in the pool, even if it's a special one. How do we feel about that?
To block the sun, that's fine.
Yeah, if it's blocking the sun, sure.
I mean, if your skin doesn't do well with sun, like you're Irish or whatever.
I was gonna say, because me in Mexico, right near the equator,
Yeah, you might want to put some sunscreen on.
If you're jumping into the ocean with just a cotton t-shirt on, no. But no, but if you're wearing like the UV blocking shirt, yes.
As much as I'm going to be near a pool and on a beach, and I don't care, I'll take my shirt off to go in the water, but I'm going to be out there for sometimes 6 to 8 hours. That's danger town.
Joshy, the only thing I'm going to tell you is stay hydrated.
Yes.
If you know what I mean.
New Berlin Steve chiming in. Now, Chewy just talking about the pinch in the upper half. He thinks that everyone knows about when you come out of the pool, you have to pinch the lower half because the swimming suit is glued to your lower region.
That's not a pinch. That's a flick. That is not a pinch. It's a flick.
There's a difference.
Yes.
There's a difference going on there. We've got to get to power rankings. But right now is your opportunity to win some great tickets for Summerfest. I couldn't believe this. When Chewy asked me this yesterday, oh, hey, Summerfest starts this weekend. I'm like, turns out Summerfest is starting this weekend. And Kenny Chesney returns. Meanwhile, not with Summerfest, though, Kenny Chesney returning to American Family Field Saturday, June 22nd. That's coming up this Saturday. The Sun Goes Down Tour. Country music superstar is going to be joined by the Zach Brown Band, Megan Maroney, and Uncle Cracker. The parking lot opens at 2 p.m. Show starts at 5 p.m. We want to send you to the concert. Caller 5 wins a pair of tickets to see Kenny Chesney, Zach Brown Band, and more Saturday, June 22nd at AmFam Field. Caller 5, 800-990-3776. Good luck.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation. We've talked about fantasy camp, and now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Closing the loop on shirtless runners, Jim and Madison texting in 800-990-3776. Brother runs without a shirt, claims he has sensitive nipples. And yes, we still make fun of him. TC, our guy Tony Cartagena, helps produce the Thanalysis show. Make sure you check that out wherever you get your podcasts. Said he's currently driving downstate. 3 shirtless runners.
Okay. That's fine. Run shirtless. I'm
also,
just going to make fun of you.
They have nipple stickers for people with issues. Those exist.
They're pasties, right?
Yeah, it's essentially a pasty. Yes, the adhesive is a little different, but yeah, that's what it is.
Let's quickly get to power rankings.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
All right, Joshy and Gabe going head to head. All I need is the top 10 NFL rosters heading into 2024. Fire away.
So top 10 overall rosters heading into 2024. At number 10, I will say the Cleveland Browns.
I'm going to go Buffalo Bills.
This is a little bit of a shocker. I'm sure you guys don't have them. Would even have them in your top 10, but the LA Rams are 10.
Interesting.
Huh. The Aaron Donald-less LA Rams are number 10, which is kind of a surprise. I still think he's going to show up at the back end of a quarter of camp and play.
I need to come clean on 9. I saw a tweet about this, not from this, it is the Green Bay Packers. Gabe and I both get credit.
The Green Bay Packers are number 9, which I think is a fairly...
I think that's accurate.
Spot.
I think that's fair. There's a lot of growth that needs to happen with this Packers. There's still a lot of potential that hasn't been realized, and that would vault them up. I think
I'm actually a little surprised they're 9 because a lot of other because this isn't the only the 33rd team is the only one to do these rankings. I've seen them in the like 13 to 15 range.
Yeah,
which is taking a conservative approach, but.
I think there's still questions
about... A lot left
about,
to prove.
Still questions about the youth.
Yeah.
There's no...
Absolutely.
So, certainly. Fair. All right, 8.
8, I will say... Dallas.
I'm going to go Houston Texans.
The Baltimore Ravens are number 8.
I thought they would be top 10.
You didn't think they would be?
I thought they would be top 5, excuse me.
I mean,
me.
They added Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Which is big. And they had a pretty good team last year. Don't forget, were they number 1 going into the playoffs last year, power
ranking wise? They had the best record in the NFL in the regular
A little bit of a choke there. So, would that give me 7?
I'm going to go Gabe's Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys.
The Miami Dolphins.
What?
Are 7.
Are we going to get Ofered here?
Pretty good offense. I'm not sure about the defense.
Yeah, I got some questions.
Yeah, there's a few questions there. Okay, 6.
Do I just keep guessing
Cowboys? I don't get this one.
New York Jets.
Cleveland Browns.
New York Jets. Josh, he nailed it. But, I mean, how can they have the 6th best roster yet in the power rankings? They're 15, 16, 17. Are they that good?
I mean, the roster's good. How good is their quarterback? Yeah, the roster's pretty. I mean, the offensive line has questions, but the defensively, the roster's good. They have some decent enough weapons. It's how good can the offensive line and the quarterback hold up?
I think their defense is a little overvalued. Even going into last year, they gave up some points against some pretty crappy teams. Well, I don't know if that was Aaron Rodgers and they felt the season was over.
Well, I think that's just you're asking your defense to do too much. Like, their offense isn't doing anything, so the defense tries to be perfect, and when it's not perfect, it just kind of slips away.
Okay, 5.
What about the Detroit Lions?
Cleveland Browns.
The Detroit Lions are 5. It's a good spot. Joshy goes up 2-0.
This is where I think reliably any 4 of these could be in any order.
Okay? Yeah.
Because the teams are pretty obvious who are left here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just where are we putting them?
All right, give me 4.
I'm going to go wild here.
I think it's the Chiefs.
That's what I was going to say.
I think it's the Chiefs.
Chiefs are 4.
Wow. Like, the roster isn't the
is
best.
Is their roster good?
The roster is solid. I don't think, like, 1 through 53, I think the Browns roster might be better. But
here's what I
the
think.
Number one player is just, well, it matters that much.
They have some really good players at various positions.
I think it is a talented roster. But I think what elevates them to 4 is Andy Reid.
Yep.
Is a great coach. I think he's gap above anyone else.
Uh-huh.
And then I think Spagnuolo, the D coordinator, has been around a long time, and he knows what he can do with that defense. So, mm-hmm. 3.
Is this where they're putting the Cowboys?
Yeah, it's got to be.
The Cleveland Browns are 3.
Oh. Okay.
Are they good enough to win a Super Bowl?
No.
Let's just say that Deshaun plays out of his mind.
Then yes.
Is that all on Deshaun?
Yeah, because the roster is really good.
Yeah, the roster is good.
And then,
like, the roster is so good, they revitalized the career of Joe Flacco last year.
Yeah.
Is this going to be Eagles?
This has got to be
Niners.
Eagles. 2 Niners.
Eagles, Niners. Eagles?
It's a really good roster.
Yeah.
I'm expecting big things from them this year. They took a half step back last year. I'm expecting them to be fully back this year.
So the Packers in the NFC are 1, 2. Hold on. Scrolling.
4.
3. They're 4th?
Yeah.
All right, fair. Good list. Thank you, Joshy.
Niners, Eagles, Browns, Lions, Green Bay is that order. Make it easy. Ewald Automotive's grand opening sale for all new Ewald, Volkswagen, and Buick GMC. So successful, they have extended the celebration. And now you can also head over to Ewald Automotive and make sure that your fuel economy is right where it needs to be. Make your car more fuel efficient with their fuel economy improvement special. Cost less than it takes to fill up your tank, just $59. You're going to be taking the kids places this year. You're going to want to make sure that your vehicle is the most efficient it can be. So don't wait for that next fill-up. Schedule your appointment online. Just go to ewaldauto.com. Sophia Minnertz joins us next.
From the latest happenings on the diamond.
They've obviously taken their hits at times, but I think Freddie Peralta has been so steady. Colin Ray, same thing.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
And he does it so unorthodox. Like, he'll change his batting stance, like, within an at-bat or at-bat to at-bat. Like, it's insane. Like, it defies kind of everything that you hear from players.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minnert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Century Foods. Win the ultimate baseball fan experience at Century Foods. Return the entry form found in the weekly ad to any Century by July 24th. Century Foods, the best meat in town. Also brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
Always excited to talk to our friend Sophia Minnertz, and always excited when she wakes up early on the West Coast to jump on with us. And because, again, no show tomorrow. She joins us a day early. Sophia, thank you so much for the time and good morning.
No problem. Good morning.
So the All-Star Balloting released the first round of it, or the, you know, just kind of put out there. We're still in phase one. Couple Brewers looking pretty good. William Contreras, light years ahead of every other catcher. Christian Yelich, number two amongst outfielders. For those who are unaware, can you explain the differences in All-Star Balloting now? Because it's a little more complicated than just, oh, all the leaders get to start the All-Star game.
Yeah, there's different rounds of voting. So the first round of voting came out yesterday, and then there will be another update on voting, I believe next week, Monday, kind of get through that second round. And then I think the voting ends on June 27th. So this initial round is fan voting, up to five ballots per day. So obviously, you know, we want to encourage fans to continue voting.
Vote early, vote often.
Contreras, yes, vote early, vote often, vote up to five times, tell your friends. Vote for William, vote for Christian. Joey Ortiz, by the way, is sitting in third. He's behind Alec Boehm of the Phillies, Manny Machado for the Padres. So I think, you know, Joey had won National League Rookie of the Month for May. So I think you can make a huge case for Joey Ortiz. We've talked about him a lot. And then the one that I think really needs the biggest boost is Bryce Terang. He's sixth among National League second basemen. We all know Bryce Terang he's got to be at the top of that list. He should absolutely be a finalist. So he's going to need definitely a big push, but you know, the fan voting, and then there's team voting, and then, you know, you ultimately get the final All-Star roster. So still some time to figure things out, but I think, I think we're hoping that the Brewers will have a couple good representatives.
Sophia, let's start right with the injuries. Do we have confirmation that Gasser is out for the year, and how is Devin Williams progressing?
We do not have any confirmation on Robert Gasser yet. So he left the team. He's going to go see Dr. Keith Meister. I believe his appointment is today or in the next day or so. So he's just getting another opinion. He's gotten two different opinions on whether to continue rehab, whether to go through with surgery. So I think he just wants a little bit more clarity before he makes a decision. So still up in the air with Gasser. And then Devin's been progressing pretty well with his throwing program. He's been up to 120 feet. So, you know, he's obviously just had to start over with strengthening, rehab, throwing program. You build up by distance. You build up by volume and intensity. He has not gotten off of a mound yet. That will obviously be like the next big hurdle for him, and start throwing bullpens and then a rehab assignment. But I think they're still hopeful that he could rejoin sometime after the All-Star break.
Talking with Sophia Minert here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I have loved watching this team so much, Sophia, because of their style of play. It's a fun style. They're aggressive on the base paths. They're generating runs. How much of them stealing bases is those guys that have the speed, the Bryce Terangs, the Jackson Chourios, the Christian Yeliches, they just have the green light and can go when they see fit? And how much of it is Pat Murphy and the coaching staff actually putting on some of the different plays, hit and runs, things of that nature?
Yeah, I think it's all the things together. I think, first of all, it's the personnel, right? I think this is one of the most athletic and fast teams that the Brewers have had in a while, frankly. You can go up and down the lineup, and virtually all of them are capable of stealing a base. And then you've got some elite base runners with Christian and with Bryce Terang.
Contreras stole a base the other day.
William Contreras. Hey, Reese Hoskins, he'll get a little frisky sometimes. I think Reese has two or three stolen bases. We had talked at spring training about, you know, what he saw from the group, and, you know, he's like, man, these guys are athletes. And it was funny. Anyway, Hoskins had set a goal. He's like, if I can steal a base a month, that gets me to five. So I think, you know, we're on track for
he's
that.
He's trending in the right direction.
Anyway, he's trending, right, on pace for it. look, so it's personnel. It's also, you know, Quentin Berry, the first base coach, does an excellent job preparing for these guys. They're really good at and astute at, you know, picking up moves and when to pull the trigger and go. It's not an automatic green light, right? Like, there is a lot of information and feel and situations, you know, parts of the game where it works, who's up to bat, you know, there's so many levels of it. But yeah, it's really a collective effort. And I think you see how much pressure it puts on the other team. I think they're kind of a nightmare to play because it's just constant pressure. And there's always that threat of running. And, you know, the plays of going first to third are so impactful. I mean, we even have guys that can score first to home. So all of that makes a big difference and leads to scoring runs.
Sophia, there was some fan concern about Willie Adames and him being traded or not being traded this week. How does a player like that go about just flushing that from his mind? I mean, does Murphy go up to him and say, hey, we just play baseball? That's all you can do. Mm-hmm. How do they keep it from becoming a distraction to the player?
Well, I mean, you've been there, right? Like, you know, mm-hmm. like what it's like when there's narratives around players like that, and you're human, right? Of course they hear it, they see it, they're aware of it. They have agents that are giving them information, and they understand it's a business. There's not a lot that's, you know, a secret in this business mm-hmm. anymore. So look, Willie was definitely aware of it in the off season. I think Willie really wants to stay with this team. I think he loves the group here. He's so connected with so many guys here. He's definitely like the glue of this team, you know, on an energy level. And yeah, there have been times that I think, you know, sometimes, you know, Murph has said he'll have a conversation with Willie, and really it's just to check in and say, where are you at? What can we do to support you? How much he means to this team, right? Like the value that he brings to this team, the impact that he has. But to say that he's not aware of it, you know, that would be foolish to say that. So I think Willie deserves a lot of credit because he doesn't take any of that out to the field. He doesn't talk about it. I think he's really just present of, and this is going back to spring training too, of just, I want to be here. This is my team. I'm going to give this team my absolute best effort. And that's what he wants to do. He's been an ultimate pro. So I think he deserves a lot of credit for, you know, how he's handled that.
Going back to kind of stylistically, the way things are different for the Brewers. And I know members of Josh's family aren't maybe necessarily fans of the increase in bunting for the Brewers, but we've certainly seen that. We've seen it backfire the way Blake Perkins tried to bunt in a run mm-hmm. on Friday, but then Christian Yelich able to drive in a run because he bunted on Sunday. Where is that coming from? Is that a Murph thing? Is that coming from higher than him? Where is that kind of strategic decision coming from? Because it kind of goes in the opposite direction that I thought baseball was going, because it's not the analytical play.
No, it's not. And sometimes it does work, right? And so I think it's like you praise it when it does work. Like we still, even the other day when Christian Yelich dropped down the bunt single and it ends up scoring a run, you're like, oh my God, but it's great awareness, right? It was a lefty on the mound. It was mm-hmm. a lefty reliever. He hadn't seen him a lot. He lays down a perfect bunt, gets on base, and the run scores. It's like you praise that play, right, when a player is able to execute it. What happened with Blake the other night with the Reds game, with you know, unfortunately, it was like a terrible situation, right? And nobody felt worse about it than Blake for the game to end that way. And he admitted, again, he deserves a lot of credit for how he handled this moment as well, of just, he explained his whole thought process and he said, look, the guys, you know, he was at the bottom of the order and the guys coming after me with Terang and Ortiz and Contreras and Yelich, you know, they're faster, they're better hitters, they're more experienced. He sort of took himself out of the at bat when really with two outs and the game on the line there, you know, obviously the move is to be aggressive. You know, he overthought it and he admitted that. He felt so badly about it. I mean, you could see how emotional he was. And the other side of it is like you talk to Pat Murphy and you talk to some of the coaches the next day. And it's like, well, if he gets that bunt down, he's the hero, you know? So it's bunting can be high risk. It can be high reward. I think it's easy for fans to look at bunting and say, like, well, my third grader can get a bunt down. And I would say, respectfully, you're not facing major league relievers.
Facing 95 with movements.
95, I mean, that's on a slow day, right? Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, seriously, it's like, I think that's really hard for fans to understand is, like, bunting feels like such a fundamental part of baseball and something that you start in little league and high school ball and maybe even your beer league, right? But these relievers, I mean, these are the best of the best of the best, these late inning relievers. So, yeah, bunting, man. And it's something that we haven't seen from Brewers teams a lot in the past, like very, very rarely. So I think this team, again, because of their speed, they're able to execute that more often.
It's also been a rough month for Freddy Peralta. Is there something that they think they can pinpoint to try to get him back on track?
Yeah, I think what's interesting with Freddy is, like, they feel like the stuff is really good. He's able to get to two strike counts. He's able to get ahead. And then he gets himself into these, like, long at-bats and these long battles and just missing sort of that put away and able to get out of it quickly. And, you know, Freddy typically does rack up a lot of strikeouts, but you're trying to also be more efficient to get deeper into the game. So, you know, there's obviously still a lot of good there with how he's getting there. And then he's just sort of missing that, like, final piece right now. So, you know, they've talked to him, you know, in the past, and, like, every pitcher and player goes through moments like this where sometimes things are just a little bit off. So sometimes it's recommitting to the fastball. Sometimes it's sequencing a little bit different. Sometimes it's a mental reset, right? Sometimes it's a mindset of, like, they've done this in the past too, of, hey, don't forget that you're Freddy Peralta and, you know, you're the ace of the staff and you've been an all-star and this is your seventh year. And, you know, sometimes it's a mental reset, right, of kind of build up some confidence again. So he is starting tomorrow in the series finale. So we'll see. Hopefully he's able to turn things around and get back to being the Freddy Peralta that we know.
Brewers are out west taking on the Angels. You can watch Sophia as part of the Bally Sports Wisconsin broadcast or stay up late and catch it on our sister station, WTMJ. Sophia, we certainly appreciate the time. Enjoy the road trip.
All right, guys. Thanks. Have a good one.
Sophia Minert joins us once a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Treat, giving us the latest on the Milwaukee Brewers. 42-30 still in first place after losing last night to L.A. You've heard me talk about mentality before. You know how much I love it because of the energy that it has given me. Look, maybe you're dealing with low testosterone. You're just not even aware of it. I wasn't aware of it initially because, you know, I just thought, oh, I'm getting a little more tired throughout the course of the day, waking up earlier, doing a morning show, things of that nature. But it doesn't have to be that way. If you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself. Don't have that energy to attack your day the way you did a year or two ago. That could be low testosterone. And mentality is here to help you. You go through the process. You meet with them. At the end of the process, you get a blood panel done. Within a week, your results are back to you. If your testosterone levels are low, guess what? That means Mentality can start working with you and give you a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. It's not one size fits all. They make sure that your testosterone levels need to be where they need to be for just you. Go to LowTUSA.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality. LowTUSA.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Jason texting in, going back to the conversation we had before Sophia joined, saying, I'm a big man, I don't run, even if things are chasing me. But I can tell you, running shirtless makes sense at a certain temp. I sweat just watching people run. And look, I think we were willing, when we were having the conversation of the people who decided to run shirtless, I think we were willing to give a pass yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
However, after, you know, TC, Tony Cartagena texted in, he was driving down state, three shirtless runners, like, at 8:17 in the morning, we haven't even cracked 80 degrees yet, have we? Yeah, it's 77 degrees outside right now.
Yeah.
We haven't even cracked 80. No reason to be running without a shirt.
Is it because men's bodies are disgusting? I think that has a little something to do with it. Like, I don't like hair. Just on my head.
Sure.
You?
I mean, I'm not shaving anything.
Like, if I had a bald chest, I'd want a bald chest.
Yeah.
I am out on hairy chest.
Do you shave your chest?
I'm out on hairy chest.
I don't think so, because we famously, on this show, waxed your chest. Ripped some of those hairs out.
Well, it's not the case anymore.
Was that a decision that was made for you?
I can't believe more people don't shave their pets. Just
So that is something that has fascinated you for a long time, because you've shaved your... I don't know. As long as I've known you, you've shaved your pits. I'm assuming it goes back to when you played.
Because I had the strap from the shoulder that would always pull on your hair. So I'm like, why not just shave it? And I never went back, and then realized that the hair is what smells. Telling you. Shave your pits today, grab the hair and smell it, and you'll be like, oh.
Yeah, the hair doesn't help, certainly.
Yes.
But also, screw it. I'm not going to put it delicately. As someone who has worn a shirt multiple times in a week and then will wear that shirt here and then walk past me.
Yeah. Yeah, you smelled my whiff.
I'm just saying, it's not necessarily all the hair. I think the hair certainly helps. I think you're onto something.
And there. I don't use deodorant a lot. I just don't like it.
We know.
Again, I'm well aware.
You guys are jerks.
I think it has something to do with, you know, skin being in contact, folded over. Like, it's just, there's certain areas that smell more, create sweat.
Hence the commercials now. Deodorant's covering everything now.
Yeah.
You haven't seen those commercials?
Which can't be a good
absolutely,
idea.
Yeah.
Like, can't be good for you.
Were you guys ever Gold Bond guys?
No.
A ton of guys used it in the locker room.
Really?
A ton.
Yeah, my football coach required everyone to buy Gold Bond, which really just turned into us throwing it at each other and it becoming a big mess.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's just not ending.
There's
well
definitely,
for
you know, two-a-days. You could get some chafage. It's certainly possible.
But when you do it, it's like you're sticking your down there in electrical socket, and it's just very uncomfortable.
It's not great.
Have you done it?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
No. Yeah, I feel like you do it once, you're like, yeah, I'll figure it out. Yeah.
And then once you get sweat down there and it's all gummy and it's just how'd we get here?
You.
Packers training camp. They released the training camp schedule. What did you see? But they do, the Packers are going to have a couple joint practices, too. And it just seems like, especially with the commissioner talking about exchanging an 18th game for another preseason game, that joint practices are going to be certainly a thing of the future. Like, joint practices are going to be a big part of development of younger players.
I'm not a fan. You know, as covert they are, it's about sharing information. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you would want to do that. And then a lot of times it just turns into a scrum.
They're going to do it twice.
Against two.
Joint practice in Denver before they play the Broncos, which is preseason game number 2. And then a joint practice with the Ravens the Thursday before they play the final preseason game at Lambeau Field on Saturday.
That'll be a scrum fest, I guarantee. Ravens aggressive, get in your face.
Packers trying to be more aggressive, trying to match that.
Yeah, the boxing gloves out. Holmgren hated it. I didn't. I'm glad. We did in Japan. We did it against Kansas City, and it was a mess. Because some guys don't know how to practice. You know?
Okay.
I mean, you're in helmets and shorts and you're jacking me up. I almost got in a fight with the linebacker. I'm like, really? Nice play, bro. You know? Hungover. 19-hour flight.
Had too much sake the
and
day
it
before.
Was hot. You talk about hot?
Yeah.
Tokyo in the summer? Ooh.
But I just feel like this is, especially as they eliminate preseason games, which is an opportunity to learn and grow for the younger guys. Yeah. Like, having that competition against another team, I don't know. Like you said, it becomes a scrum fest.
Yeah.
And I don't know if teams, as they get used to it more and more, just kind of figure it out of, hey, this is what we have to do now. But it's...
But you always get one guy, Gabe.
But it just always makes you a little concerned, makes you a little nervous.
Yeah. Not a fan.
because you don't know how much you can trust that other squad. Again, the Packers' first preseason game is going to be at Cleveland. First training camp practice is going to be on July 22nd, almost a month away. Wow. Coming up quick, and they're also going to do a shareholder meeting on that day. No show for us tomorrow. Juneteenth is a company holiday. I hope if you are out there, you enjoy that. If you get the day off as well, we will be back on Thursday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wildeless and Tausch coming up next.